How does living next to an abortion clinic affect your life? Find out next on Gospel of Life. This is Reverend Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by our Associate Director and co-host, Janet Morana. And today, our special guest is our own Senior Vice President, Jerry Horn. Jerry, good to have you with us.
It's great to be with you guys.
You usually work behind the scenes.
Always.
And this is why it's particularly exciting to have you on the scenes today to talk about your own pro-life journey, how you got involved in the pro-life movement, which you've been serving for over three decades, and to talk about some of the interesting twists and turns that your life has taken and how the abortion issue has impacted you and your family and your work. So let's go on a little journey through your life.
Did you say three decades, Father Frank?
It's been that long, hasn't it?
Well, thank you very much for having me on the program. It is a delight to be with you and to share some of our experiences along the way here. And you commented about being behind the scenes. And I've always felt more comfortable there in these last years of involvement in the pro-life movement, but it wasn't always that way. And in fact, in the very beginning, in 1983, it was quite the opposite. Things were different at that time, and the movement was the nature of the movement was completely different at that time, and we didn't really have a model to follow. And so when I first became involved in 1983, in some ways we pioneered some of those ways for others, and I'm not sure how good we did at it, but we did it, and we tried to obey. We tried to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we asked the Lord to guide us each step of the way. I have to say that I've had the opportunity working behind the scenes, but even in the beginning years, to work with some of the greatest heroes that the pro-life movement, and to be honest with you, some of the greatest heroes, I think, unsung as some of them are, and some names that your listeners and your viewers wouldn't know. I've had the privilege of working with them and mostly for them behind the scenes. So in the very beginning, 1983, we were at a conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we, meaning Reverend Norman Stone from Walk America for Life, he was a senior pastor at a small Assemblies of God church years ago in Appleton, Wisconsin, and at a conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, through a series of different things, he had an encounter with the Lord about the horror of abortion and how it broke God's heart. And perhaps sometime you'll be able to have Pastor Stone on and hear that very intriguing and very moving story. But in some ways, his experience became my experience. My wife, Bonnie, and I shared with him and worked in the ministry with him for about 10 years. And this particular experience and calling fell on our shoulders as well because of the close nature of our relationship. And so we came away from that prayer conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, with an awareness, a baptism of grief, if you will, about the realization that each time a child died through abortion, God's heart was so grieved. And as pastors and as people who serve the community, as just regular citizens of this incredible country that we live in, we had been complacent and ambivalent to the slaughter of hundreds, thousands of little children.
It reminds me of the saying that God comforts the afflicted, but he afflicts the comfortable. And it sounds like you're saying you were comfortable as pastors, but you didn't have that burden, that grief for the unborn.
That is, you couldn't say it better. And we came back from that conference with that very, very, we couldn't live our lives the same ever again.
Yes.
From that very day in November of 1983, our lives were forever changed. And it's still, after all these years, still a very emotional experience. And it led us to some rather ominous beginnings in the pro-life movement, because you have to understand, in 1983, we didn't know about the big movement, Operation Rescue. We didn't know. None of that had happened yet. But we came back to our little community of Appleton, Wisconsin, and we met with some local pro-life groups. And we asked them, what do you do? We've got to do something. And maybe we should go to Milwaukee. We lived in Appleton at the time, or maybe Chicago, and go to an abortion clinic and to pray there and to see if we can save babies and touch these young couples, women, as they went into the clinic. And the pro-life group leaders just looked at us kind of funny and said, well, there's an abortion clinic just, you know, a mile from your church. And we were just devastated. Like, we had lived in this community for years and years, and we didn't even realize that there was a killing center just down the road. Mm-hmm. And it was at that point that we knew that we had to go and intervene on behalf of the innocent, and also on behalf of their moms, the girls who were being exploited and who became chattel, as it were, ushered in and out, revenue, to be bought and sold, these little children. And so within a week or less from the time that we got back from that conference, we were in front of an abortion clinic only a mile from our church.
Isn't that scenario repeats itself over and over again, right?
Whether
you have a killing center right in your midst and you don't even know it. It goes to show how the abortion industry continues to do what it does, because the violence of abortion is hidden. The injustice is secret, and we need to shine a light on it.
Yeah, because very often pastors will say, oh, well, you know, I don't need to preach about abortion in my community because we don't have any of those centers here. Very often they're there, but they don't realize it, like Jerry's saying.
And it might be a center. You're saying this was an actual abortion mill.
It was the largest freestanding abortion clinic in northeastern Wisconsin. Yeah. People coming from Michigan, Minnesota, everywhere. And it was astounding. The parking lot was just incredibly full, and that was our objective, Father, was to shine a light on the evil, and shine a light we did.
Yes, and we're gonna think and talk about how, but this reminds us of the project that we have of matching the parishes with the abortion mills.
That's right.
And the churches, just in a nutshell.
Well, what we have is on our website, where you can type in your area, your zip code, and it will show you where the nearest abortion mill is. And I think we have to challenge our viewers, whether you're a pastor or you can maybe tune your pastor in to say, here's the nearest abortion mill to our church, and let's our church adopt that mill in prayer for the closing of it, for the women going in there, and the babies that are being killed every day.
And not only the abortion mills, but there can be abortions going on right in your neighborhood, in doctor's offices, you know, secretly in hospitals, although most hospitals don't do it. But nevertheless, so you decided to shine a light on this, and how did that unfold?
Well, like I said, it was very ominous beginnings, but we realized that if we really believed that abortion was murder, which it is, then we needed to act like it. So we went to this. The first thing that we did, being pastors, Pastor Stone and myself, we went to the abortion clinic, just the two of us. We knocked on the front door. We asked to speak to the owner and the abortionist, and of course they were very, and we didn't realize. We had no idea in those days that you weren't supposed to do that. But we went, and we were very kind, and we said, well, you know, we wanted to talk to you about what goes on here. We understand you do this, this, and this, and this, and you do abortions. And look, we just are here to say that, hey, look, if you want to do these particular things, that's your business. But we're asking that you would consider not ever doing abortions again. And at that point, the medical practitioner there said, could I ask you gentlemen to please leave the premises? And we were obliged to do so reluctantly. But when we went away from there, Norm and I sat down at a little donut shop in northeastern Wisconsin, and we realized that we had to go back. And the next time that we went back, we had to, in some way, challenge the darkness there, shine the light. And basically what we did is we took our wives and our children, and we went to the abortion clinic, and we stood underneath the awning there, and we prayed. And we prayed that we came before anyone else was at the clinic. And as the cars started to come in, we began to pray. And my son Israel, who was just, he was just a mere 6 years old, I think, at the time, or even younger, we put little crosses over a septic tank. And within minutes, police cars came, and we were asked to leave the premises, and if not, we would be arrested. And we didn't even have a position on civil disobedience, or we didn't have a defiant spirit, or like, oh, we're going to break the law or anything. We were there to intervene on behalf of the innocents and to make witness to life. And within hours, we were in jail, and our I think Norm and Judy's children were, for even a brief moment, taken ward of the state, but were released shortly after that. And we didn't realize that it would make news or anything. We just went there as concerned citizens and as pastors to love and to care and to generate a feeling of hope to the women that were going in there. And but we were arrested and processed, and by the end of that day, we were released, and we were shocked. As we were released, there were people everywhere. There were TV cameras everywhere, and you have to understand, this is in 1983, and nothing like this in the pro-life movement had ever really happened. And Pastor Stone made a comment to the media that this is just the beginning, and that we were calling people of the community to come together at a certain time in a certain place. And that night, I think over 750 people from that little bitty town in northeastern Wisconsin came, and we had our first pro-life meeting.
Isn't that something? And this is not being arrested for any kind of unruly behavior or violence or even threats of violence. This is just because you were there bearing witness to the truth about
Absolutely.
Abortion.
There was no violence at all, except the violence that went on inside that client.
Yes.
And it was amazing. It was truly amazing. It was just a peaceful witness. I was handing out gospel literature.
What was the exact charge?
Obstruction of justice, disorderly conduct, and one other thing, trespassing. and we were surprised. And the police officer, the chief of the police there, through the years, and we can't take enough time on your program today to go through History Lane enough to let you know that a lot of these people at first who thought we were totally radical and have become very dear friends through the years, and they themselves have been converted to the pro-life position.
Now, for a certain point, you lived right next door to an abortion mill, right?
Well, yes, and for those of you who are watching today, it's interesting, the evolution of the ominous beginning. One of the things that we found out was being arrested, even though it made a statement more than what we would have ever anticipated, the idea was not to be inside the jail to make our statement, but to actually reach the women. Mm-hmm. And the particular abortion clinic there in Appleton, Wisconsin, was a former Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall, and they actually performed abortions like in the chapel areas. They reconstructed it, but and there was only hundreds of feet apart from that building was the former parsonage where the minister lived. It was privately owned. And we always thought, wouldn't it be great if we could be at the property line of the parking lot of the abortion clinic and able to communicate with the women going in without having to be arrested? And also just the sheer presence 24/7 right there. And through a series of incredible events, people in our church sort of bought the house in a clandestine way. They would have, you know, the abortion clinic owners would have thrown a huge fit had they known we were actually trying to purchase this. But I'll remember it like it was yesterday. After all the different things that had happened in our exposing the darkness at that clinic, how we were brought back to the day that we bought that house and we moved in, our church members moved my wife and I into it during the night. And the morning came, the sunlight, and busloads of people from all over came to our backyard. And the police came, and it was, and when Officer Reckway came, and he was the chief of police there, and he looked at me and he goes, "Please tell me you didn't buy this house." And I said, as a matter of fact, so we set up our home, our residence, and a center to try to intervene on behalf of the children and the women. And it brought a whole new meaning to the idea of love thy neighbor. And it was a difficult task, and it was a great challenge as Christians.
Would you like put up signs or call out to the women or have
Absolutely.
It,
we had signs up all over, and we also they had to park right up against our property line, and we thought for sure they would put up a huge fence, and they did eventually, but the years that we were there, we never had that problem. We were able to get many young couples, girls, and their boyfriends or husbands to come by and speak to us. We saved and saw a lot of babies saved there. We also unfortunately, we lost a lot of those battles, but we would have those young girls come back and say, you were right, we should have listened, and mm-hmm. we were able to direct them. Subsequently, and this is the beauty of the pro-life movement, as we began our efforts and we tried to obey every step of the way, it was unique in that some of the other people in the community had just started a crisis pregnancy center, and they had very slow clientele. But when we started having pickets there, we would have anywhere from 100 to 200 people at a time picketing the abortion clinic or praying there outside the clinic. Mm-hmm. And when that would happen, the people from the pregnancy center, even though we didn't work closely with them, it was sort of a prayer and a handshake under the table relationship with them, they would give us a phone call. We had 40 people at this week at our center. If the picketing was up, if we had a lot of presence or prayerful presence at the abortion clinic, the clientele at the pregnancy center and the baby save were phenomenal. It was just astounding. And so those were the early years and our personal involvement there in Little Appleton, Wisconsin. But as we began to be more vocal and things began to develop, we became sort of a model, and we got calls from other cities. How did you do this? How did you do that? We want to get more involved. Yes. Our good friend Joe Scheidler, who is known as the Green Beret in the pro-life movement, who we all know and love, said that in 1980, it was like the Holy Spirit poured out a spirit of awareness and a grieving on the hearts of Christians from coast to coast. And we began to see this and began to be able to participate in a way that that few others did. We were right there at the very beginning, mm-hmm. and it was really exciting. And it was at that point, I think, that we realized that something bigger than what was happening in Appleton was about to explode, and it really did. And in such a way that it led us from Little Appleton, Wisconsin. I remember the Village Voice, the very liberal newspaper out of New York, came to Appleton and did a 14-page cover story on Civil War in Appleton, you know. Mm-hmm. And then that broke out from there, and then people started calling us from all over, and we got invitations to speak different places. And then as we got more involved and more prayerful about and focused on the pro-life movement, Pastor Stone had a very unique experience about the Lord asking him to walk from one coast to the other. And I meant like, you mean from east to west coast, you're going to walk? And I'm not very good at walking, you know, so, but he is. But it was astounding, the idea of a pilgrimage for life.
And that's going to actually be the topic of one of our other shows. We're going to have a look at that walk across America. But we're actually out of time for this segment. Any final thought, Janet?
Well, no, just what Jerry said, first of all, is that believers, if they would just come out to the abortion clinic and pray, those mills will shut down and the women will turn away, because sometimes they're just looking for that one sign, and his witness is proof of that.
Well, we're grateful for everything that you've done for the pro-life movement over the years, and now, of course, your assistance with Gospel of Life and Priests for Life and all of us in so many ways. It pays off, and we'll enjoy a rich reward from the Lord. So thank you, and blessings to you and your family.
My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us. When we come back, you will listen to our action segment. And that's something you won't want to miss, brothers and sisters, because we'll talk about how you can do some of the same things that Jerry Horn has done over the years and continues to do in serving the pro-life movement and working for an end to the tragedy of abortion. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion. I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself. I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Haley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council. Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wild, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospeloflife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
My friends, welcome to our action segment. You know, Janet, where we have our offices in New York, there are many of the local churches that have put up signs about abortion on their church property, big signs. And they've been up there for years and years, and everybody coming to church and also driving by on the road gets the pro-life message. This is a wonderful action item that we want to recommend today to our viewers.
That's right. And we're not talking about big, giant billboards. We're talking about a reasonably sized sign that is right on the church property, but in a very visible location so that people, pedestrians, cars going by, they really can get this message. And there's really some great messages, things like abortion stops the beating heart and a lot of different messages. And they're very simple to put up.
One of them says abortion, the ultimate violation of human rights. Another one says, cherish God's precious gift of life. I know another one says, let the preborn babies live. And what happens is it becomes a part of the fabric of the neighborhood. And even if people aren't thinking about it, people who live in that area, as they go back and forth each and every time past that church, it's having an impact on
them. That's right. You know, and it's very simple project to do. I know we in New York had a local men's group that got together, and they just said, be committed. They went to a sign company. They brought them the phrases and some designs, and they themselves took it upon themselves to kind of take the work away from the pastor or the minister, who's always very busy, and just said, look, We'll take care of all the details. Here's the different sign designs. You pick the one you want for your church. We'll do the rest. Just give us your permission. And they erected the signs. Because part of this is, you know, maybe a pastor or minister might say, I want to do this, but, and then that word of the time involved. So I encourage local pro-life people to say, listen, we can do this, and we can help our pastors up on the property.
Volunteer to do the work.
That's right.
That's required. Absolutely. and it's really, lives are saved by this. And people have to realize, lives are saved, because a lot of folks out there, even those that have appointments to get abortions, are very ambivalent about it. And sometimes they're looking for a sign from God to say, well, how, you know, tell me how whether I should really do this or not.
Right.
Just like a bumper sticker can save lives.
So can they.
Signs in the parish can.
And then lawn signs, that's something that we all can have outside our homes.
Our own homes,
and
yes.
And there are companies where they can get these pro-life message lawn signs. Our friends at Victory One and Heritage House, they have them already made, and they're very reasonably priced. You can go to gospellife.com and from our website get to theirs, where you can really pick a lot of different phrases. And there's no reason why you can't have that in front of your house where the shrubs are and just put a couple of lawn signs. Because as people, again, walk and drive by, their mind will become alert to a little pro-life message that will help eventually get to them, you know.
Yes, and bringing this idea up furthermore in prayer groups and Bible studies or conversation with in your pro-life organizations and groups, spread this idea. Let people know about it, or writing it in a newsletter. And once the signs go up, if one church puts up a sign, make an event out of it.
That's right.
Take pictures, publicize it in the newspaper, invite the local newspaper to come by and say, we're going to unveil our sign. And then that gives them an opportunity then to explain to the community, for example, that we promote alternatives to abortion. And in fact, the sign can have a phone number for alternatives to abortion locally. Of course, another thing that this could lead to is actually purchasing billboards in the local community, and we did this also in the very beginning.
That's
and
right.
Found people very supportive coming forward to pay for the billboard. In fact, the billboard company ended up donating most
right.
of the spaces.
That's right.
So people respond beautifully to this.
Right. And again, if they need help with getting these ideas launched, call us or contact us at Gospel of Life, and we'll be happy. Our staff is standing by, ready to help you with these suggestions and get them into action.
Exactly. Well, brothers and sisters, if you like the things that we say on Gospel of Life, please consider supporting us financially. We rely on people like you to advance our work. Be in touch with us at gospelalife.com. We're grateful to Life Dynamics, which is where we tape these shows, and they're very generous in helping us with the studio and also their staff assistants. And we are eager to hear from you. Contact us, let us know what you're doing, and together, let's work for a culture of life.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospelofLife.com or email us at info@gospelofLife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.